Well, it is so good to see you all with us here today. Welcome to Radical. If this is your first time, we're especially glad to have you with us today. My name is Trevor, and I get the privilege of being the pastor here at Radical. And I'm excited. It's a new year. And 2024, we had some amazing things happen. It was, in every sense, the best year of Radical Church. By the numbers, by how many people got saved. God, we had over 300 people get saved last year. Come on, isn't that amazing? People giving their lives to Jesus, finding hope in Jesus. But I really believe that 2025 is going to be our best year ever. Come on, I'm believing for that for your family, believing for that for our church family as well. And so we are about to get into a new series, but kind of just want to go back for a second because it feels like forever since we have been in this room together, okay? It feels like it's been so long. We had Christmas at the Park, which was on the 21st of December. And who was at Christmas at the Park, actually? Let me see. Come on now. It was a ton of fun. Never really seen anything like that, to be honest, in the city. And it was just a really, really fun and impactful event. It was so cool to be able to look out. I joke because I couldn't really see much of anything from the stage up there. But in the first three rows, I tried to look out and see people raising their hands to give their life to Jesus at Christmas at the Park. And I heard that there was just so many hands going up and people saying yes to Jesus at the Park. And you love to see it. It was incredible. But then we had Sabbath Sunday. We had church online last week. And we were in Oklahoma City. My wife and I and our kids, we went to Oklahoma City and then to Tulsa to visit some of her extended family. And so I hope that you had an amazing Christmas. Hope that you had a very happy new year. And I'm just excited to be back into the house of God because there's no better way to start your year than by being in the house of God. And if you know that to be true, say amen today. Come on now. We got to start our year off right with God. And we're starting a brand new series as well. I'm very excited. It is called The Vow. Come on, somebody say The Vow. Ooh, it's a relationship series you already know. And we're talking about marriage. We're talking about dating. We're talking about singleness. Come on, how many married people we got in the room? Come on, let me hear you. All right. They're a little unsure about it. Okay, it's all right. You're like, yeah. How many single people we got in the room today? Come on now, any single people? Come on, yeah. Yeah, be loud and proud about it. You know what I mean? And then look for another hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, trying to play matchmaker up here, Pastor Tim. We're making it happen here at Radical Church. But I want to let you know that this series, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. It's not just about marriage, but when we talk about marriage, how many of y'all know that it applies to you single people out there? Come on now. If you are married or you hope to be married one day, right? These principles will apply to you. And I know there's probably some folks out here too that have been married before, maybe been divorced or remarried. And I just want to encourage you here in this place today. We're going to have an entire message just about a divorce and that there is hope even after divorce and that God has so much more that your best days can be ahead of you, not just behind you. And so we want to encourage everybody, no matter what season of life you are in this series, you're going to be able to get something out of it. And so today I kind of just want to set it up and we're doing a message titled, Remember Your Vows. Remember your vows. It's important to remember the vows that we have made to God and also the vows that we've made to one another. And so let me pray for us as we get into this. Father, so thankful for this amazing church family that we get to start this year off together and we get to start it off the right way by praising you, thanking you for what you've done, and by also looking forward to what you're going to do and in faith, believing that this will be our best year yet. God, I pray for marriages in this place today. I pray for relationships in this place today that they would be strengthened, that hope would rise up in this place. If I could do anything today, God, I pray that I would just be able to deliver some hope to somebody that maybe feels hopeless. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to receive your word and all God's children said. Amen, amen, amen. So we're talking about vows over the next 6 weeks. And there's actually, I'll kind of give you a little preview. We're going to talk about just what is a vow, remembering vows today. We'll talk about singleness next week. We're going to talk about dating the week after that. We'll talk about marriage. And we have four vows that we're going to actually kind of all make together and reinstate, in a sense, or renew, if you even will. Four vows that are very important. We'll talk about those over the course of a couple weeks. And we'll also talk about divorce. That'll actually be the final message of the series. We're going to go all the way through Valentine's Day with this thing, which is like the most stereotypical thing that I could do. But we're going to do it, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And so I pray that you'd come back. And this is kind of be setting up the rest of the series, if you will. But I think it's important to lay the foundation of, hey, what even are vows? And why should we remember them if we've already made them? So ultimately, a vow is a commitment or a promise to someone that you will do something or you will not do something. Something you will do, and hey, I'm committing, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to commit that I will not do this thing. And you can make a vow for pretty much anything, really. But it's not a word that we use very often. The only time you ever use the word vow, unless you're like in medieval times, I don't know, but like you would never use the word vow, like, oh, I'm vowing to go to Taco Bell. Like, no, like that's just like, you don't say that, you know what I mean? But the only time we ever use it is that we're talking about wedding vows. So it's a kind of the context for vows, I suppose. But you can make a vow for anything. You might say, I vow, start of a new year, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week, every single week in 2025. Has anybody made that kind of a vow? All right, and I'm going to go to the gym a little bit more often. All right, 3 of us will be at Crunch Fitness. Okay, I will see you there, okay? I will be there every morning at 6:45. Anyway, okay. So what about maybe this year? I vow I'm going to eat healthier than I've ever eaten before. 2025, I'm going to get back on that diet. I'm going to do it. Anybody made that New Year's resolution? Anybody made that vow? Come on. We got some people that are doing it. All right. 3 people are eating clean. Let's go. We're ready. We going to look good for summer, my man. Yes, sir. Let's go. And then the next thing is maybe you might say, well, I vow that I will forgive myself for breaking the previously mentioned vows that I just made. You're going to have to forgive yourself because it's not always going to happen. But, you know, you can make a vow for pretty much anything. So usually when we talk about them, we're talking about wedding vows. And so I thought it'd be fun to start this off by getting some real vows from real people. And we might even do this every week. It might be just a recurring bit we'll do every single week, apparently. But real wedding vows that I found online from people. And so the first one is this. It says, I promise to always deal with any spiders you come across so that you won't have to touch them yourself. Come on, lady, say amen, right? Lindsay, like she is so, like this is her for real. I could have said this vow and that probably would have been the most impactful one I would have said at our wedding had I said this. I should have stolen that one. But I think she honestly married me so that I could just deal with all the bugs in her life. You know what I mean? If there's ever a bug, I'm there to take care of it, you know? And so maybe this one might be one that you could use. Single people, write this down. I promise to always squeeze the sponge after doing the dishes so it doesn't start to smell bad. That's a good man right there. You know what I mean? That's a good man. Another one, I thought this was really cool from a guy's perspective, from a man's perspective as well. He turned and he thanked everybody for coming. He said, hey, just want to say first, thank you all so much for coming today, especially you. Thank you for being here as well. He had to turn to her. He was just glad that she showed, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't sure. He didn't know. So those are kind of some funny ones, of course, and I think I like those because I like to joke around and laugh a lot. But there are also some that are just so sweet and so just so special, okay? And so I'm going to read a couple. This person said, when you need a friend, I will be your best friend. When you need help, the awes have already started, okay? Oh my gosh. I will be there for you. When you need, see, I can't. These are like, I don't like these. Okay. When you need care, I will support you. When you want to try something new, I will encourage you. And I know you will do the same for me. Okay, collectively, we can say aw. Say aw. All right, here we go. There it is. The next one. This one is really sweet. I like this one. I vow to always be your protector and confidant, responsible for making sure your every need is met, every want is reached, every dream is realized. It's said that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. That is Bible. From this life we have built to get to this moment, this great moment in our life, looking into your beautiful eyes, I vow to always be your good thing. with love in my heart, always by your side, to my last breath, I love you. There you go. Come on, everybody say, aw, there it is. Okay. These vows are, some of them are funny, some of them are beautiful, but ultimately, they're all very personal too. And I think that's what makes them so special, right? Like the spider thing, you know that they've had that conversation before, right? You know that they've dealt with that. The sponge thing, that was very, very specific, all right? Like they've talked about the sponge before. You know that probably just absolutely made her laugh in that moment. And it was so personal and so specific, and they were all very heartfelt. And that's what makes them so powerful, is that it means something to each other. But ultimately, at their core, what is a vow? It's just a promise, right? It's a promise for the future. It's not looking backwards. It's not saying, hey, I was going to do this, or I did this. No, no, no. It's saying, hey, I'm going to do this. These are the things I'm going to do for you. But ultimately, these are the things that I'm going to be for you, which I think is even more important. Like, hey, I could do some things for you. I could say some things to you. I can make a vow, and I can make it look all nice and pretty, and I can say it all nice and pretty, and everybody goes, aw, but ultimately, I need to be that person for you, right? It's not just about even doing sometimes. Just because sometimes we do things, we're going through the motions, but who am I, and who are you, and who are we going to be for one another? Very, very important. But the thing is, and it's very unfortunate, it's about 40 to 50% of those vows that are made are eventually broken. About 40, 50% of marriages don't make it. And of those that are still together, might say something like, well, we don't have broken vows. We're still together, but we're miserable. We're just going through the motions. We feel like roommates. Or there's no love really here. We're kind of together, but we're not really together. You'll know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of you have even been in that stage before and you've gotten out of it. Maybe some of you are in that stage right now. And maybe you aren't even married yet and you're like, I'll never be in that stage. You just wait. You think you know something, all right? But just wait. Because sometimes these stages and phases of marriage, they come and you got to know how to deal with them. But I just think, honestly, it's tragic that the state of our nation and the state of marriage is the way that it is right now. I think it's tragic that there's so many people getting divorced right now, and it's tough. It's not always your fault. Sometimes it's something that happens to you, right? But it stinks. It is what it is. This is not God's plan for us. It's not his plan for his people. And I think it's tragic. But the final message of the series, I do want to talk to those of you that have been divorced before. The final message is called Broken Vows, and we're going to talk about all about divorce, when to maybe get a divorce, when to stick it out, what to do after divorce, and knowing that there is still hope even after that. Most importantly, we're just going to look at the Word of God and see what it says about divorce, because I think it's very important, especially in the nation and the climate that we live in today, when we got to talk about these things. So it's a travesty that there's so many people divorcing and maybe not splitting up, but I think what's even worse is just how many people are probably out there. And to be honest with you, marriages and people that are sitting in this room watching online, that they're watching and you're here, but yet you're not really in a good relationship right now. You might come to church and y'all dressed up and you look good and everything and nobody would know, but you guys know. You guys know that you're not doing well. Living every day in an unhappy, unfulfilling marriage. Listen, I believe that God wants marriage to be the most fulfilling relationship in your life, aside from your relationship with him. Amen? He wants you to be in an amazing relationship, an amazing marriage filled with joy. Come on, filled with excitement. Not just like frustrated roommates, but two people that are passionately in love, first with God and then with one another. This is what God wants for you. And this is what he wants for me and for my marriage and for your marriage and for his children, his people. Sometimes people make these marriage vows, and here's the issue, is that over the passage of time, people start to forget about them. I mean, when's the last time that maybe you went back and watched your actual wedding, if you have it on video? When's the last time you watched it back or you pulled out that notebook that you wrote your vows on and you actually went and watched and listened to the things that you said to one another? Over time, what happens is we just start to forget these things that we promised. And you start out with good intentions, but without intentionality, it's easy to go back on your word and to not hold up your end of the promise. And this is exactly what happens with Jacob and God. Jacob makes a vow to God in Genesis 28. In fact, this is the first time that you ever see the word vow used in Scripture. Now, there's been promises made, there's been covenants made, all these different things, but the first time you ever see the word vow is in Genesis 28, verse 20. It'll be up on the screen for you. It says this, "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth.'" He's talking about tithing, right? He's saying, hey, if you'll take care of me and get me through this journey I'm going on, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to look like. But man, if you'll get me back to my dad's house one day, man, I will serve you forever. I will give you everything I got. I will build a house for you here in this place. So God upholds his end of the deal. And over the course of about 20 years, Jacob gets married, has a bunch of kids, becomes very wealthy. But Jacob did not remember his vow to the Lord to go back to his father's land one day. And he had just kind of stayed where he was. And so this is what happens with us sometimes, I think, that we make these commitments and we make these vows, but then life gets busy, does it not, right? Those of you that got kids, those of you that you're working, you got a social life, you got finances, you got stress, you got the holidays, you got family you got to deal with. I mean, the last month and a half has probably felt like a whirlwind for some of you guys. And what can happen is you're going and doing a lot of things and you're going and seeing a lot of people, but are we being intentional with our marriage? Are we being intentional with the relationship we have with this other person? Because we can end up giving so much to everybody else and doing everything else that we're not being intentional to remember the vow that we made to this person. And this is what happens. The commitment we make to God and the commitment we make to our spouse sometimes gets put to the side just because of busyness and of life. It just gets in the way. And so Jacob, he needs to be reminded of his vow. And so God actually shows up to him in a dream over 20 years after he made this promise to God. Genesis 31, this is what God says. "I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land." Now, this isn't in my notes today, but I wanted to just take a second to say this, is that God takes vows very seriously. He takes them very seriously. God remembers the vows and the promises that we make to him. It was over 20 years later that God has to remind Jacob, hey, you said that you were going to do this, and you haven't done it yet. You promised this to me, and you haven't done it. And so God takes vows very seriously. And I think that if he takes them very seriously, then we should take them seriously as well. The vows that we make to God, but also if I make a vow to my wife, if we make a vow to one another, if you make a vow to your spouse or to somebody in your life, man, you better take that thing seriously because God doesn't forget, and we shouldn't either. Listen, sometimes I'll say that I'm going to do something for Lindsay, and she might be a whole lot like the Lord because she will make sure to remind me of those things that I have said I'm going to do. Hey, I'm going to go fix that drawer in the kitchen that's been messed up for a long time. That girl will remind me about every other week until I do that thing, you know what I'm saying? But listen, we got to remind ourselves, and this is what the Lord says. He says, "Leave this land at once and go back." Somebody say, go back. If you write anything down today, I want you to write this down. I want you to go back. God's saying, hey, Jacob, go back to where you came from, man. Go back to where you started this journey. Go back to where you made this vow to me. Sometimes I think we need to go back to the moment where we first encountered God. Sometimes we got to go back and we got to remember what the love of God felt like. The very first time when you felt the love of God, when he encountered your heart and you gave your life to Jesus, man, I actually remember exactly where I was when I gave my life to Jesus. It was at a youth camp, at a kids camp. I was 7 years old and I still remember it like it was yesterday. I have vivid memory of this. The pastor that was preaching at the service at the kids camp, which by the way, thank God for kids ministry. Come on now, Rad Kids and Diana. Come on, that's why we need good kids ministry. Gave my life to Jesus and I went down to the front and then my camp counselor that was with me said, hey, would you like to call your mom and dad and tell them that you gave your life to Jesus? And so I still remember going over to a payphone. Come on, somebody. Found a payphone. It was the 90s, all right? And went over to this payphone and called my parents and said, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. And everybody's crying, and it was amazing. But I remember that place. I remember the feeling. I remember what God was doing in my heart in that moment. It's important to go back. And I think it's important to go back and remember the vows we made to our spouse as well. Really, really important, because there will be hard times. There will be. Now, some of y'all that just got married or maybe you aren't married yet, but you're like, nah, man, like I'm in this amazing relationship. Maybe you're dating or you're engaged or you're like, no, it's going to be amazing. Maybe you're in your first year of marriage or your first couple of weeks or something like that, and you think everything's going to be amazing. Let me tell you, there's going to be some hard times. People that have been married a long time, say amen. Come on now. Amen. Yeah, there you go. It's going to be some hard times. Some of y'all said amen a little too loud, Mom. You know. All right, I'm just messing. I like to give my parents a hard time, but. There was a couple that was here last service. It was real funny. He said, we're about to celebrate 33 years of marriage. And he said, yeah, it's on Valentine's Day. I was like, oh, that's amazing. He said, yeah, I picked that day so I wouldn't forget it. And I was like, my man. I like that. But there's going to be some hard times, right? And if you don't remind yourself of the vows that you made, if you don't remind yourself every once in a while of the things that you have actually promised to that other person, woo, it's when the times are tough that those vows actually matter. Because when things are easy, it's like, well, the vows, you know, hey, everything's going all right. Everything's going good. But it's when things get really, really tough, that's when the vows actually kick in. That's when you got to really start looking, hey, this is what you promised me. Or, hey, this is what I promised you, even though it's really tough right now. It's really hard. That's when they get tested. When it feels like you're fighting all the time. And your communication is just absolutely shot. And you just, like, cannot get on the same page. When work starts to pull you away more often than you'd like. Maybe you've gotten drowned in work and you're trying to relieve yourself from the stress of being at home, and so you're staying at work real late, but then you end up just kind of living with this other person. You get into that weird roommate phase, and it's like you're just going through the motions of being married, but you're not really in a relationship. When finances become stressful, and you're living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, and then you start taking it out on each other. What's the number one cause of divorce? Finances, money. Money fights. When intimacy and that quality time is taking the back seat to busy lives. Sometimes we have kids, and you know, parents with young kids especially, and we got a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. It is hard sometimes, especially if you got 3 or 4 kids, and there's just things going on all of the time, and it's so easy to put them in the priority and to put them in the front seat and let the kids drive everything that's going on. Come on, you know what I'm about to say, but listen, your spouse is the most important person in your life. Ooh, and we will talk about that in a couple weeks. Oh my goodness, here we go. I'm getting ahead of myself. Back to the notes. All right. When you just don't feel the love anymore, right? That's when the vows get tested. Like, well, we're just not in love anymore. I just don't feel it. I'm not, we had something and then now we don't and it's just not there anymore. Listen, that's when those vows kick in. That's when those things get tested. Maybe for somebody here today, and this is the word that I feel like God had, just this one thing. Maybe for some couples or for a person here today, it's time to go back and to remember those vows that you made. And I like to go back to the actual place that I met Lindsay, and she wasn't in last service. And I said a whole bunch of stuff, and so she didn't hear me. But this service, she will. So we'll see how this goes. You guys will get to experience this along with me. I like to go back to the place that I met Lindsay. and it was actually at a youth camp, and I was a worship leader for a long time, so I would travel and go and lead worship at different youth camps around kind of the southern part of the nation and different things. And so I was at this North Texas youth camp for about 5 weeks in this summer. Every week we'd have a new set of campers and counselors and all that that would come in. And so before we go any further, I want to qualify that she was a leader, not a student. Come on, just got to make sure I say that on the live stream. Just going to put that out there for everybody up front, okay? But there was this term that people used to say back in the day. I've never actually told this piece of the story before, I don't think. But she was out in the crowd, and I was leading worship, whatever. And she, I guess, turned to a friend or something like that, or another leader, and was like, hey, that's Bay up there. And anybody that's a millennial or younger probably knows what I'm talking about. Y'all know Bay is before anything else, right? It was just like a word that young people said, you know what I mean, back in the day. It was a thing, but you know, now I'm at the point where I feel kind of old now, because now all these like Gen Z and Gen Alpha students are saying some weird stuff and I'm not understanding what they're saying anymore. That was like the first time I realized, like, oh no, I'm getting old. Oh no, this is it. It's all downhill. They just start saying these words and I'm like, are you speaking English to me right now? And, oh, it's so awful. Anyway, but that was the thing back then. They say Bay, like, oh, that's Bay. And so, so then her youth pastor comes up to me in the gym after, you know, the worship set and the next day or whatever, he comes up to me and says, hey, Trevor, is there a Mrs. Trevor by chance? He didn't even know my last name. I said, no, sir. Very, very single and very open to just about anything at this point, really, sir. I mean, I'm very single. And so he says, well, we have an inquiring mind. First off, kind of a weird way to say that. It's kind of not the term I don't think I would have used, but all right. And so the first thing I was like, so like, who is this person? And then he very quickly was like, a leader, not a student. And I was like, okay, just wanted to make sure we get that out of the way first. And I said, well, I mean, do you have a picture of this girl or anything like that? And I asked that question for a very specific reason, all right? If you grew up in church, all right, anybody that grew up in church and you were single, you were in middle school or high school, or something like that. Some of them, they've heard this story before, so they know where I'm going with this. And there's like this grandma. There's always a grandma that comes up to a single young man and says, you should date my granddaughter. And then you meet the granddaughter and you're like, no, I'm not going to date your granddaughter. I'm so sorry. So as for a picture, I was a little shallow back then, but you know, it's whatever. But then I saw a picture of this woman and I was like, yes, Lord, he provides. Let me meet this girl now. Found out later, she was standing around the other side of the corner, like peeking, just so embarrassed that her youth pastor would do this. So his wife runs up and shows me the picture. And I was like, yes, this girl is gorgeous. I got to meet her. So the next day they set it up. And I remember the actual place standing right outside of the actual, right outside of the worship center that we would lead worship in, where I met her for the very first time. And we got to talking a little bit, and she was so shy. I mean, it was real cute and everything. But, and so then about a week later, her youth pastor reaches out. We've been talking all week, right? So I went back home, and she's from Cleburne, south of Fort Worth. And so I'm here in Austin, and Kyle, and we're talking a little bit. And he says, hey, why don't you come and lead worship and then preach at our youth group? This dude was like really, really trying. He said, I'll move my boys out of their room and you can have their, he had three boys. I'll move all my boys out. You can have the room. You can stay with us. This guy was playing straight up matchmaker. And it worked. It worked. He was pretty solid at it. Okay. And so I go up there and I go up on Sunday. Actually, we went to church first. Okay. So I get there on like Saturday night, go to church on Sunday morning. I've known this girl for a week, by the way. I meet her parents. I meet her brother. And everybody that she goes to church with, and they're like, who is this guy? And everybody's kind of like, well, he's like sort of talking to Lindsay, but like kind of not. And I'm like, it didn't bother me at all. I'm an extrovert. I will talk to anybody. I was up for the challenge, okay? And so meeting her parents, meeting everybody. And then a few days later, I'd stayed with them. We've been hanging out and lead worship at the youth group and do all that kind of stuff there. I preached and all that fun stuff. And so then we're talking and we're sitting out by this lake in Cleburne there. And I said, hey, I think we should actually like make this official. Like, we should date. And then she sits there and thinks, doesn't say anything for literally an hour. I am not kidding you, people. It was so long. But we just kind of sat there and listened to some music. We were just kind of chilling. She was very, very unsure about this. And I was like, I'm feeling real good about this. Like, I promise. Like, there is something here. I didn't go as far to be like, God has spoken to me. Because that's weird. Single people, don't ever do that. Y'all are weird when y'all say stuff like that. Anyway. God's told me you're going to be my wife one day. Don't say that, man. Anyway. You better be really sure. Anyway. So, I'm talking to her. I'm trying to anyway. And she's being very quiet. I find out later, of course, her side of the story, but she tells it. She says, well, I didn't want to say yes because you might have been a creeper. Like, I don't know you. Like, I've only known you for like a week. I'm not just going to say, yeah, I'm going to be your girlfriend. I'm like, okay. And so she ends up reluctantly saying yes. And then we dated for 9 months, got engaged, and then got married to the day that we met the next year. So July 23rd, we met, and then we got married the next year. And so the reason I tell this story is because I think it's important for us to go back and remember those moments, right? Remember those times that we met. I ended up proposing to her at that lake where we actually started dating. And I say all this because I kind of even just wanted to put a smile on your face. Some married people that are in this place, or some people that are single and you're hoping to be married one day, or you're in a relationship and you're thinking about getting married. But especially for those of you that are married, when's the last time that you just kind of sat down and like talked about when we met, you know? And you're probably thinking about the time that you met right now. That's probably why some of y'all are smiling, because you're like, oh my gosh, like I remember our story when we met, and oh my goodness, and just putting a smile on your face. Right now, times might be really tough though. But sometimes I think you just need to look back. You need to go back and tell the story again. You need to go back to that time when you really found that love with one another, and it'll put a smile on your face. And you know, hey, times might be hard right now. It might be difficult. But man, I do love you. And it's like, I love you too. You know, it can be tough. But man, when you go back, sometimes there's just some hope that will just rise up within you. Even when you go back in your relationship with God and you remember the first time you encountered him, oh man, it puts a smile on my face and reminds me that God has been good to me this whole time. And so the other day, she actually asked me, it was really, really funny. You didn't know I was going to preach about this, but you asked me about, had ever thought about doing a vow renewal or anything like that. We're just kind of having a conversation. She said, have you ever considered that? You've seen like people, how they do these vow renewals and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, I've never really, I mean, thought about doing it before, but I just wanted to ask, I'm curious, I asked it in the last service, how many of you actually done a vow renewal or a vow renewal ceremony or anything like that? Have any of y'all done that? Just raise your hand for real. Yes? That's amazing. Anybody else? Anybody else? See, not a lot of people have done this. And there was a few in the last service. People will do full ceremonies for this thing. I mean, it's like a whole, it's all like a whole on wedding again. And if I could be honest, before I was married, I thought that was so dumb, right? I was like, why are we doing this whole thing? Like, you are already married. We're doing it again. Why? Like, why are we doing this? You already done did it. It just seemed to me, before I was married, I would be like, it's just like this annoying thing that couples who are actually already super in love are doing, you know, for like a cute Instagram photo shoot or something. Like, why are you doing this? But now I've been married for 8 years and I'm certainly not an expert, but I definitely get it now. I get it. I get why people would want to do a vow renewal. Because when you've been married for a while, you've been through some things, right? People that have been married for a while say amen. You've been through some things, right? Yeah? And you fought with each other to accomplish something, and to sometimes you fought against each other. And sometimes there's just some scars that need to be healed. There's some wounds that haven't been addressed. There's some vows that have been broken. Some promises that weren't kept. And sometimes I think it might be a good thing. Maybe you don't have to have a full-on ceremony. Maybe you do. Might be something that you talk about later today. Hey, have you ever thought about this? Maybe it's something we should do. Maybe you just need to have something just between the two of you. maybe get away for a weekend and just have something just personal with you guys. Sometimes you just need to go back and remember those vows. You go back so that you can then move forward, right? And I think our relationships with each other are just like our relationship or the Israelites' relationship with God. How many times that, God, we're going to serve you. We make this vow to you. We love you, God. And then they end up slowly over time drifting away from God and drifting apart from God. And then something happens and then they crying back, God, I'm so sorry. Like, we're going to serve you again. What does he always say every time? He's like, come on, come back. Let's get back into this union together. And then over time, drift away, and then they come back, and then drift away. It's just like us. It's just human nature. But God would always say, hey, come back. They would have to have this come to Jesus moment, really. And I think sometimes there might be some people in this place, you need to have that come to Jesus moment with each other. This is what God says in Revelation 2. He says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. You might have heard it this way. This is probably the way most of you heard it. It's a different version. It says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. How easy it is for us to forget our first love, right? To forget the love that we once had for God, even to forget the love that we have had for a spouse or had for somebody we're in a relationship with. It's easy. Over time, life gets busy, things get in the way. Little scars, little fights over time, they add up, they build up, and you just drift apart. But I think it's time, if I could just give this one word as we set up these next few weeks of this series. For a married person here today, I just want to talk to you guys for a second. I want y'all to go back. Tell the story of how you met from each of your perspectives, because it's vastly different, right, from each of your perspectives. Tell that story to each other. Put a smile on your face. Pray together. And ask God that he would give you some hope. Maybe there's some real conversations that need to be had. Maybe both of you know that, hey, we're not in a good spot right now. You're here at church on Sunday morning and you're like, oh, like, you know, everything's good. How you doing? We're good. But it's like, you both know that you fought all the way here. You know what I mean? Like, it just happens. And I think it's time to go back. It's time to remember. It's time to heal. It's time to grow in our love for God, grow in that love for one another. And if I could just encourage you with anything over the course of the next 6 weeks, is just to be able to, hey, let's have some real conversations. Can we do that? Over the next 6 weeks, yes, we can do that. Yeah, with each other, but also like here, me and you and us here all together, we're going to get super real over the next 6 weeks. You know, a little unfiltered, which is pretty standard for me, honestly, but we'll get a little unfiltered, a little raw, because I think we need that sometimes, to have those real raw conversations so that we can really build off of that and make something special. So if I can pray for you here, would you bow your heads? I'm going to pray for everybody in this place. Father, I just ask that you would bring some hope to somebody that's hopeless today. God, there's some marriages that are struggling right now, like really, really not doing well. And they might not admit it. I'm not going to ask them to come up here, Lord, and whatever that might be. I'm not going to embarrass anybody here today. But God, they know that they're struggling. And maybe you know that there's an individual that's struggling. Maybe one person's feeling good, but the other one's really not. God, I pray that we would be able to have some honest and raw, real conversations about where we're at. And that it would all start with our vow and our commitment that we've made to you first, God. That you would be in the middle of these conversations, that Lord Jesus, that you would heal these relationships, that you would mend the broken places. God, I believe that just like a broken pottery, that actually when it gets put back together, that it becomes like a mosaic, and it's even more beautiful sometimes than when it was not broken in the first place. God, I pray for that blessing for a marriage here today. Lord, I know that when you break a bone sometimes, it actually grows back even stronger. When you go to the gym on that New Year's resolution and you're breaking down those muscles, what happens is they actually grow back even stronger the next time. And so God, I pray right now for a marriage that is broken, a marriage that is struggling, a marriage that is maybe on the brink of it being over. God, I pray right now that there would be healing that would happen and they would actually be stronger. stronger than they've ever been before in the name of Jesus right now. We declare that over some marriages here today, over some couples here today, watching online here today. God, I pray that you would do that in somebody's life. And Lord, I pray a blessing of provision over them. Maybe they're fighting about finances. God, I pray that you'd bless them beyond belief. Help them to get on the same page. Communication would be restored in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that over the next 6 weeks that we would see just miracles in marriages. That's what we ask for. That's what we're going to believe for. And I pray for some single people that are here today. God, they might not have that person yet, and they're wondering, God, is that person ever going to show up? Am I always going to be single? God, what are you waiting for? And I just pray that they would even have some hope that if the right person is around the corner. Lord, for a couple that might be dating right now or together, but they haven't actually had the courage or to tie the knot just yet, or they're not sure, Lord, I pray you give them clarity and help give them some courage to take the step that they need to take. For somebody that's divorced here today, Lord, I pray once again that they would have hope. Their best days are not behind them, but that they can actually still be ahead of them. There is hope even after divorce. And there's grace. There's grace. There's grace. And so God, we love you. We thank you. And pray that your blessings would pour out over every person here in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. 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 Come on, let's put our hands together for Jesus today. I'm excited for the next few weeks. I have one more thing I want to do for us here, so don't leave just yet, because how many of y'all were here for our altar offering and our altar, all that amazing stuff? If you don't know, if you're brand new today, this is our campaign. We're trying to actually purchase property and build a church home for more people to be saved, healed, delivered, and set free by Jesus. Come on, to see more marriages restored, more families coming back together in the name of Jesus. And so, we had a goal, and the goal was $1 million in commitments over the course of 2 years. And so people have been texting me. They've been asking for the last 4 weeks now, they're like, Pastor, can you tell me how did we do? Did we meet our goal? Did we exceed our goal? Where are we at with all this altar stuff? I'm excited. I want to know. And so our consultant, his name is Chad. We love Chad. He's a great dude. He said, I'll remind you if you weren't here. He said, man, your church size and the age of your church, we're only a four-year-old church. He said, you can probably do about 800,000 in commitments over the course of 2 years. That's kind of the number that I would suggest and that I would think would be doable. And I said, well, we're radical around here, so let's try for $1 million. And he was like, hey, man, there's but God moments. Sometimes God just shows up and God just does something miraculous. He said, so that's a faith goal. It's a stretch to get, $1 million in commitments and to get all that money in. It's going to be tough, but man, I've seen God do it before, and maybe he can do it again in your church. And so I'm going to go ahead and announce to you so far, I give you the results here. All right, get ready to praise God. So far, we already have $181,832 in the bank so far. Come on now. And $1.23 million committed. Come on, we smashed that goal. Give yourselves a round of applause. Come on, let's give God some praise in this house. God's doing it. We're going to have our own space. It's going to be a house for Jesus, a house for healing, a house for hope. Come on, man. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I told Chad that number. I was like, see, I done told you, Chad. All right. It was so fun. But man, I just wanted to celebrate that with you. And I want to encourage you, if you've made that commitment for altar, man, this is the time to start. I know a lot of people said, hey, we're going to start in January. We're going to start making our kind of monthly or weekly, whatever that is for you. Man, I encourage you to do that. It's going to be a stretch for many people, even for my family as well, but it's going to be amazing. We're starting 21 days of prayer and fasting next week as well. I want to make sure I announce this before we leave. 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so we'll have some information out to you this week on what that looks like. But 21 days of prayer and fasting, it's all just about believing for God for big things in 2025, for your family, for our church family. So we'll send out more information to you, but I'm excited to pray, to fast, to believe God for miracles along with you and your family. If you're going to join us for that, would you come on, say amen. Let's do this together, all right? Hey, God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week.